The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning in the second chapter. Now after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Everybody, I want everybody to take a big, deep breath and let it out slowly. The Christmas rush is over. Now we can relax. All of the celebration is done. Jesus, as we left on Christmas Day, was in the manger. All is right with the world. But if we suspend our belief in what we know to be true, and that is we know the story beyond simply the manger, right? We know what happens. The reading today, Jesus is taken to Egypt because King Herod's going to kill all the babies that are 2 years and under. We know all that. But we've had to suspend our knowledge in order to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. So let's put ourselves back in that suspension and say, okay, Jesus is gone. The town now of Bethlehem is empty. The census is over. The wise men have gone away. The kings have gone away. The stable is now back to stinking and whatever. What about us? Where do we fit in that story? What's next? Well, I found a story about, I'm going to say 4 years ago, I found a story that I thought would be good for Christmas Day. But I never used it. And as I was thinking about something to have for Christmas Day this year, I came upon this story. And I thought, the more I read it, the more I thought about it, perfect for the day or the Sunday after Christmas. So let me tell you another story that will put us back to where we need to be. There were two Americans who were invited by the Russian Department of Education to teach morals and ethics in their prisons, in their businesses, in their fire and police departments, and even in a large orphanage. They were also told that they could teach from the perspective of their faith. So they went as witnesses to the light, like John the Baptist, to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. The experience of these two in the Russian orphanage proved to be particularly illuminating. About 100 boys and girls lived in the orphanage, children who had been abandoned, abused, and left in the care of a government-run program. It was time for the orphans to hear, for the very first time, the traditional story of Christmas. The Americans told them about Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem. Finding no room at the inn, the couple went to a stable, and the baby Jesus was born and placed in a manger. Throughout the story, the children and the orphanage staff sat in amazement as they listened to the two Americans. Some sat on the edges of their stools trying to grasp every word that was said. Completing the story, the children were given three small pieces of cardboard to make a crude little manger. Each child was given a small paper square cut from yellow napkins. Following instructions, the children tore the paper and carefully laid strips in the manger to be straw. Small squares of flannel cut from worn-out nightgowns were used for the baby's blanket. A doll-like baby was cut from tan felt. The orphans were busy assembling their mangers as the Americans walked among them to see if anyone needed any help. All went well until one of the Americans got to the table where little Misha sat. He looked to be about 6 years old, and he had already finished his project. The little boy's manger had not one, but two babies in the manger. Quickly, the translator was called to ask the lad why there were two babies in the manger. Crossing his arms in front of him and looking at his completed manger scene, the child began to repeat the story very seriously. For such a young boy who had heard the Christmas story only once, he related the happenings very accurately. Until he came to the part where Mary put the baby Jesus in the manger. Then Misha started to ad lib. He made up his own ending to the story as he said, "And when Mary laid the baby in the manger, Jesus looked at me and asked me if I had a place to stay. I told him I have no mama and I have no papa, so I don't have a place to stay. Then Jesus told me I could stay with him. But I told him I couldn't because I didn't have a gift to give him like everybody else. But I wanted to stay with Jesus so much, so I thought about what I had that maybe I could use as a gift. I thought maybe if I kept him warm, that would be a good gift. So I asked Jesus, if I keep you warm, will that be good enough gift? And Jesus told me, if you keep me warm, that will be the best gift anybody ever gave me. So I got into the manger, and then Jesus looked at me, and he told me I could stay with him for always. As little Misha finished his story, his eyes brimmed full of tears. The little orphan had found someone who would never abandon nor abuse him, someone who would stay with him for always. And that's where we come in. We call Jesus by the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. In this Christmas season, we discover, like the orphan Misha, that the God who came in Jesus Christ will never abandon or abuse us, but will stay with us for always. Jesus promises to be with us when the cancer biopsy comes back positive instead of negative. When the spouse of 15 years stomps out the door and doesn't return. When the dream of success in business is once again downsized and diminished. When the longing for family harmony is shattered by a shouting match. Or when the desire for companionship is drained by another lonely holiday season. In all of these depressing, discouraging, and disillusioning situations, and there are many, many, many of them, our Lord is with us as Emmanuel, God with us. We're never completely without companionship or support as long as there are two babies in the manger. So why don't we do a very good job of keeping Jesus warm? Why don't we become part of the manger scene? What is it that threatens to separate us from the child, from the Christ child, that was told in the story? Well, part of the problem is blindness. We simply don't see the manger. In our frantic search for comfort and joy, we look for lasting pleasure in all of the wrong places, in clubs and in classes, in parties and programs, in internet chat rooms, and professional conferences. Sure, there's certainly some good to be done and found in those gatherings, but they also distract us from the one place we can find unconditional acceptance and unending peace, in the manger. It is only in a close relationship with Jesus Christ that we discover how truly valuable we are as children of God. There is also the problem of our incessant busyness. We just don't have time for the manger. Again, in this Christmas season, our days were driven by endless office parties and school concerts and church pageants and shopping excursion, not to mention the cultural requirements of holiday decorating and Christmas card writing. I think it's kind of ironic that the escalating demands of Christmas prevent us from taking time to focus on the real reason for the season. Each of us should carve out an evening this week and in the weeks to follow just to slow down and take a rest. Pretend that the Christ child has been born this day in your particular house, requiring you to simply stay home and keep him warm. In addition, we face the challenge of doubt. Sometimes we don't believe in the manger. The world is such a violent place, and so often victory seems to go to the powers with the largest arsenals and the most ruthless tactics. What chance does a baby in a manger have against suicide bombers or serial killers or gun-toting terrorists and brutal, corrupt governments? What chance does he have? And yet no single life has changed the world more than the life that was in the manger on Christmas Day. A life that challenges people to look beyond this world to the kingdom of God. There's always room for another baby in the manger. If we take a trip to Bethlehem, we find the one who will stay with us on our journey every step of the way and will guide us toward an everlasting kingdom, one marked by love and peace and justice. If we give this baby comfort and support, we will find true comfort and support for ourselves as well. But there's more to life than the pursuit of personal peace. In this Christmas season, again, we are challenged to testify to the power of Christ in our own lives and to tell the world about what Emmanuel is up to. That's what the two Americans did when they traveled to Russia. That's what little Misha did when he put two babies in the manger. And it's what John the Baptist did when he came to be a witness, to testify to the light of Christ, so that all might believe through him. John has one function in his gospel, and only one function: to witness to Jesus Christ. And there's a lesson in this for us. Our challenge as Christians is to never simply to say or to stay close to Jesus and enjoy his forgiveness. We need to explain to the world why we are choosing to be one of the two babies in the manger. Keeping him close is one thing. Telling the world about his closeness is another. Jesus has invited you to join him in the manger. Enjoy him always and share in him in all the ways possible. Maybe you'll include in your New Year's resolutions a commitment to daily prayer or Bible study, or perhaps you'll talk with friends about what Jesus means to you. And perhaps you'll discover why you feel a need to be close to him. And you'll share that need with others. But the invitation has been extended. How will you RSVP? Amen.